I hate mess. Case in point, you know, when I'm thinking of what activities to do with my kids, my wife knows this well. I'm thinking, what will produce the least amount of mess that I have to clean up as possible? My wife, on the other hand, she don't give a damn, right? She don't care. I swear, sometimes she chooses the least convenient, most messiest activities to do with our kids. Why? I'll do anything to avoid the mess. My wife, on the other hand, has made peace with embracing the mess. What am I getting at? Krista is a lot more like God than I am. I think when most of us, when we picture God, we imagine him clean and pristine, who doesn't want to get his hands dirty, who's so holy, and maybe you've imagined this about God, who's so holy that he can't be around our sin lest he get tainted. But what I love about the Advent story, especially if we choose to look beneath the surface of it, is a story about a God who isn't afraid to get into the mess of our lives. Now, we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. This is Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus. And we hit on this passage a little bit last week, but I want us to revisit it for today. This is the word of the Lord. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Amen. Last year, my firstborn son Zion absolutely broke my heart. He was starting to get into global sensation K-pop group BTS, and his favorite song is Dynamite. But one day he was playing, I think it was with either my phone or Krista's phone, and he stumbled upon the Kidz Bop version of Dynamite. For those of you who don't know, Kidz Bop is, they basically take popular pop songs and they remake it with kids singing the different parts, okay? And so for the next few months, whenever Zion requested Dynamite, he asked specifically for the Kidz Bop version. Now, why did this break my heart? Well, first of all, I do believe Kidz Bop is like the devil. It takes what makes the original song beautiful, authentic, and good, and sucks all the life and the artistry and the beauty out of it, and it reproduces this commercialized, plastic, sanitized version of the original work of art. I mean, show the picture of the music video, for crying out loud, okay? This is Kidz Bop in a nutshell. No shade to this guy. He's just doing his thing, and I praise him for it, honestly. But honestly, why? I think for many of us, we've Kidz Bopped the hell out of Christmas. What do I mean by that? We've done a phenomenal job of sanitizing the Christmas story, stripping it of its humanity and beauty. I mean, for example, most images that we see of Mary are her well-rested, dressed, and regal in her Sunday best. I think we have some pictures of it. Most paintings of newly born baby Jesus are of him, like, sitting upright, clean, with a halo over his head, with the barn animals looking all cuddly and cute, usually white or Caucasian. We don't see the fear in the eyes of a Middle Eastern teenager dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. We don't picture Mary hunched over the side of the road, throwing up because of morning sickness. We don't imagine the alien-headed shaped baby Jesus fresh out of the womb, covered with goopy fluids, blood, and hair. I love this image from Scott the painter. He has this beautiful image of painting a more human depiction of baby Jesus and Mother Mary. I remember when I was in middle school, I never knew how traumatic this would be, but they showed us a video of live birth happening when we were just middle school kids, and I think it's important to see. But I remember it was nothing like they picture it in movies. Like in the movies, right, the woman's like all put together. The baby comes out and it's hella clean, right? Nothing like that. It's a messy, messy process. But yet we've sanitized the Christmas story where we don't imagine the humanity and the messiness of all of this. It's no wonder we lost the wonder of the Christmas story. We've sanitized all of the humanity out of it. Scott Erickson, who painted this picture, he says, "The sanitized brand we've created to celebrate Christmas aesthetically suggests we can only experience God with us by cleaning up all of life's messy details. But what we see through the details of the birthing process is that the Christ story is actually about a God who brings salvation to the world through all those messy details. The labored breathing, groaning, shouting of a mother, the powerlessness of a writhing, crying newborn, the fear of not having a sanitized place to give birth. A saving way came into the world just like we did in all of its goopy humanity." You know, how someone arrives on the scene says a lot about who they are. And how Jesus arrived here on earth says a lot about who he is. Jesus arrived on earth not on a flaming chariot, not on a grand throne, not descending from the sky, but through a womb. Think about that. The Savior of the world came to us through a womb. Our King chose to make his grand entrance through a womb into our world through a messy, vulnerable, and human womb. Jesus could have arrived fully as a man, full of strength, stature, and posture, but no, he arrives as a helpless babe, weak and vulnerable, through the same womb that you and I came from. What does it say about a God who's willing to be that vulnerable with us? Who's willing to come into the world through the statistical risk of childbearing? Who's willing to wait and grow in the human womb just like you and I? Who's willing to be fearfully and wonderfully made just like us? When Jesus arrived through the womb, he was saying, "I'm not interested in a distant, surface-level relationship. I want to intimately know you. I want to know your experience, as messy and as uncomfortable as it is." Listen, any real connection that we want to experience in life, it takes vulnerability. Jesus, he made himself the most vulnerable he could possibly be by arriving this way. And this is the heart of Advent. This is the heart of Christmas, that the Messiah of the world chose to get down in the mess to meet us where we're at. That if you're looking for God, you're going to find him in the goop, in the pain, in the heartbreak, in the waiting. Like when we read Emmanuel through this lens, God with us, doesn't it take on a whole nother meaning? Right? He knows what you're going through. Why? He's gone through it too. He knows what you're feeling. Why? Because he's felt it too. He doesn't just know about the human plight. He's lived it. He's experienced it. I know I don't look like it, but I used to be a skater boy back in the day. And, you know, skaters, we love to sniff out what we like to call posers. Like people who like have skateboards, but don't really, you know, they're not really part of the gang. They're not really part of the culture. And the easiest way to spot a poser at the skate park back in the day, I don't think there are posers anymore. I think everyone's great. Everyone should try skateboarding. But back in the day, when we would sniff out posers, the way we would notice them is by looking at their shoes. And if their shoes were completely clean, if they didn't have any tears or rips or wear on the side, because when you're skateboarding and doing tricks, you're rubbing up against grip tape and you're messing up your shoes. If their shoes were pristine and clean, we knew they weren't fake. We knew they weren't really skaters. We knew they weren't part of the culture, right? We would say never trust a skater whose shoes aren't ripped up. And what I love about Jesus is he's not just talking game. He's not just saying, "Humanity, I understand you." He's not just saying, "Oh, I'm with you. I empathize with you. My heart's with you." He's actually lived it. He has torn up skate shoes. He's experienced the human plight. He's gone through it with us. And so he knows what we're going through. But here's the thing that I don't want us to miss in this story. You know, Scripture paints this picture for us in Genesis and the creation narrative that in the beginning, before anything was created, in the darkness and the void, it says the Spirit of God was hovering. Now, theologians, they often draw a connection between that imagery and the creation narrative to this very picture in Matthew of Mary's story. The same way that the Spirit of God was hovering over the darkness and void of creation, so too is the Spirit of God hovering over Mary's empty womb. See, whenever darkness or void or emptiness is mentioned in Scripture, you can be sure that God is up to something. He's about to move. He's about to birth something new. And in Genesis, out of the darkness, in the void, God brings forth all of creation. But here in Matthew, out of an empty womb, God brings forth the Messiah who would bring forth a new order of creation. Listen, whenever you experience darkness or void or emptiness or barrenness in your life, you can be sure that God is about to bring forth something new, to bring forth redemption, to bring forth breakthrough, to shine forth his light. And this is the beauty and the hope of Advent. How Jesus arrived back then says a lot about how he shows up in our lives today. Jesus, he doesn't just meet us on the mountaintop. He doesn't just meet us when we're full of worship, lifting our hands and singing. He doesn't just meet us when we're fervently praying or reading his word. He meets us when we don't have the strength to sing, when we don't have the time to pray, when we don't have the words to pray. He meets us in our doubts, in our fears, in the messes that we've made in our lives. For many of us, it's been a really hard year. And maybe there's this temptation in our minds that we have to sanitize it, to like look on the bright side, to count our blessings, to overlook the difficulty and the pain of it all. And it seems like the Christian thing to do, doesn't it? To mindlessly sputter off churchy catchphrases while glossing over the reality of our situations, the real emotions that we're dealing with, the real doubts that we wrestle with. But what the Advent story invites us into and what it reminds us is that when we sanitize our pain, our tears, our doubts, our worries, our fears, we miss out on truly experiencing God with us. I think Scott Erickson puts it best. He's the God of the goop. That's where he meets us. We serve a God who's lived our experience, who knows our pain, who understands our struggle, who empathizes with our weakness. And instead of making us sanitize it before we can approach him, he steps forth and embraces us in the midst of it all. And he says, "This is where you'll find me, in the heartbreak, in the loss, in the layoff, in the waiting while everyone around you is getting married or advancing their careers, in the brokenness of your family, in the sickness of your loved one, in the unknown, in the mess, and in the goop. He's right there with us." There was a moment when the presence of God felt like morning sickness. There was a moment when the presence of God felt like uncertainty in the midst of an unplanned pregnancy. There was a moment when the presence of God felt like the pain of childbirth. And for you, maybe the presence of God this season doesn't feel like the mountaintop, hallelujah, glory, get on your knees, filled with gratitude and joy kind of feeling. Maybe the presence of God for you in this season feels like waiting for breakthrough. Maybe it feels like trusting in the middle of mystery and doubt. Maybe it feels like birthing pains. This is the invitation that God extends to us today, to experience that same arrival of God with us in all the goopy, messy, and painful realities of our human lives. An honest Advent leads to an honest hope. And an honest Advent leads to an honest joy, an honest peace, an honest love. And maybe that area of your life that you so desperately feel like you need to sanitize is that very place where God wants to meet you today, where the Spirit of God is hovering in what seems to be darkness and void. So my challenge to you today and the invitation of Advent today is to embrace your vulnerability, to embrace your weakness, to embrace your mess, to embrace your doubts, to embrace your season of life, and to find God smack dab in the middle of it. Because the God who spoke light into the dark and voidless world is the same God who came as light through a messy and vulnerable womb. And maybe today God is saying that messy place, that goopy place that in your life is the very place that my light will shine forth from. Could it be that the key to experiencing God with us this Advent season is by embracing those vulnerable areas of our lives? So I want to invite us right now to respond. Why don't we close our eyes? I don't know what your season of life is like right now. I don't know what you're experiencing or what you're going through. But I do know that the hope of Advent is that despite the messiness of our lives, despite the pain that we're feeling, despite the vulnerability that we're in, that God is with us. He is with you in your pain. He is with you in your questions. He is with you in your sadness. He is with you in your despair. He is with you. God, today we reflect on the hope of Advent. We thank you that you are the God of the goop, that in the messy details of our very human lives, you're right there. And you're not there. You're not there until we sanitize it or make it presentable or clean it up. You jump in it with us. You get your hands dirty. You're right there in the middle of it with us. God, we thank you that you are Emmanuel. Today, I pray that we would be honest about our vulnerability. We would be honest about how we're feeling. We'd be honest about the questions we have. We'd be honest about where we're at. And would we invite you into the vulnerability of it all? Come, Holy Spirit.